Let us stand together if you're able for the reading of the Word of God today from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 21. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, which come from envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness is contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Caden, could you come up here? Caden, do you have something to say? Do you have something to tell people?
For God so loved the world, he only gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Amen. Amen. So, Caden, who all needed to hear that? Do you remember who all needs to hear that? That's a hard question.
Everybody.
Everybody. You did well. You did well. You guys can clap for Caden and have a seat. You can have a seat. Nobody wants to sit. They're honoring you, Caden. He came up to me this morning in the hall. And here's the part I want you to really hear. His great-grandma and grandpa and his grandpa. So great-grandparents and a grandparent work with this young man that he would know a scripture like this. Grandparents, great-grandparents are to be honored when they pour into their great-grandchildren and grandchildren. So thank you for that. I'm blessed as I hear that little guy. He was so fired up. He probably wants a mint. Do you guys love church? I mean, do you really love church? I mean, do you get excited about things of church? Is church a big deal? Amen. Yeah, it's good. Church is amazing. Church is so incredibly amazing. I love church. And the older I get, the more I grow to love it. I love it more and more as I grow to know Jesus more and more. Do you know that the Bible says that we, the church, are his bride? I'm so excited about that. Not that I ever wanted to really be a bride, but it's a powerful statement that we're the bride of Christ. The church is to be protected. And the church is to be protected from within it. The bride should be holding the bride accountable to be the bride of Christ. And that which comes against the church from within is the thing that weighs heavy on me more and more and more. I love the church. The church played a huge role in my salvation. Without the church, I don't know that I ever come to Christ. The church is a big deal, and we need to be reminded of the big deal that the church is. 1 Timothy 3, say, oh, before I go. Last week was one of the most powerful messages that I've heard on the rapture of the church. What's that? That's where the groom calls his bride and brings her to him. Pastor Jerry, that was outstanding. And I know it was no easy task to deliver. I know you carried the weight of the whole thing. And you so moved me that we have to do a prequel. What was that word you kept throwing out there? escape? Which means escape, really. Escape from this world, and it's all the things that lead up. Eschatology. You throw that word around a lot. I appreciated that. We're going to be called up to him. And it is a glorious thing. There are so many things in Scripture that speak to that great event. And we can't not do it after what was given last Sunday. So I was blessed as we were driving along, looking at everything that was beautiful in creation. We didn't worship the creation. We worshiped the Creator. But he gives us something to enjoy. And to endure the trip was easy because the message was given across the airwaves. And Jerry, it was outstanding. Thank you for that. In 1 Timothy 6:3, it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. He's setting a foundation for what's going to be taught. Now, he speaks some things in verses 1 through 3, but he's talking about the doctrine of the church. The doctrine of the bride of Christ, if you will. And how important this doctrine is. That if anybody comes against it, it's a big deal. And he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, somebody that comes against it or hinders it in any kind of way, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. He is speaking to the church. This is Paul, God's man, speaking to Timothy, his man, who's the pastor of the church of Ephesus, the church that lost their first love, remember? He is speaking to him to speak to the people of Ephesus. And what he's really saying is don't mess with the doctrine. Don't dilute the doctrine. Hold true to the doctrine of the church. Why? Because that is the word of God. Jesus said at the beginning, he's told that he was the word made flesh. He is the word of God. We don't diminish the word of God because we're diminishing Christ if we do. All right? That lays a foundation. Who is this not talking to? 1 Corinthians 5:12 says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. God will take care of that. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Which evil person? The one from in. What is it talking about? It is talking about the wolf that comes as a sheep, as a lamb. And they're vicious and they're destructive to the truth of what? Of God's word. It's deep, it's profound, and it has many layers to it, and we should embrace it because it is about Christ and not diminishing who he is. As the bride, We had a little shower yesterday. I didn't go to it. Thank God men don't have to go to showers. Thank God men have to take showers. But a beautiful shower, because you're going to have a baby. McKenna Kelly, stand up and let them out. Just see how far away you are. Now I'm totally off my thing. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I should never do that. Hebrews 12:13 says, pursue peace. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. God has called the church to be holy, and he's called the church to be one. Okay? He's called us to be one. Are we going to see everything the same? Not a chance. Not in this church. Not in this church. There's churches of 8-10 people that every one of them is dialed into the exact same thing. That's not this church. We're non-denominational. We don't follow a denominational line. We follow the Word of God as best as we can. But when you do that, you have people that see it one way and people that see it the other way. And what has God called us as these differing people? He calls us to come together in him, that the bride of Christ, yeah, has no spot, no wrinkle. That's the work that he's done, but has no gripe against each other. That's the work we're to do, to have no gripe, have no thing. Deal with them in love. That's what the church is called to do. Deal with the ones that are off in love. And then at some point, if there's a rebellious spirit or there's something that doesn't connect with the truth, they would get talked to. And then if things don't change, then we have to deal with it. And it's a time thing. It just doesn't happen overnight. Why? Because a little man came up here and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Spoken out of the mouths of babes. You know, it was so precious. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So why is this such a big deal? Why is this whole thing? If anyone teaches, does not consent to wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us what that person is like, the one that's causing the disruption in the church. He is proud. He knows nothing, really, nothing of value. But he is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. Do you get into fights with people over words? Trying to nitpick and get to things that are irrelevant to what his word really says. Do you ever get caught up in that? I have. Sometimes I started it. God forgive me. I don't want to start that. But we get caught up on details that we don't need to get caught up on. Because usually there's a spirit of judgment behind it. And that spirit of judgment does us no good. Because he tells us something, who we are. He says in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you and I are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's who he sees you and I as. The person over here and the person over here are his special people. The wolf that comes through the doors is not his special people, not yet. So we have to handle it rightly. But beware of the wolf that deviates from this document. He says, us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. Remember, you at one time and I at one time was the wolf. Think about it. I was the wolf in my family. I was the wolf in people that would come in with disputes. I'd have disputes about the church, not for a long time, because I was raised in the church, but I became a wolf at a degree. Some come up become a wolf at greater degrees. God delivered me from wolfdom, if you will. Now I say baa all over the place. I'm a sheep. So the first thing is, we're called to be content in our faith, not disruptive, not disseminating the group, not separating the group, but we're called to come together. in the church. Be content in your faith. Don't get so riled up if you hear something that doesn't fit your perfect ideology. None of us have a perfect ideology yet. Don't get so worked up. We're supposed to be content in our faith. And that contentment is the fact that God is in you. The groom, actually, is in you, steering you and growing you. To what? To what you're called to be. And there's a process at play here. Second thing, guard against greed. Be content with what you have. Verse 6 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Is that you? Is that you? Are you content with right where you're at? Okay, good for you. The four of you, good for you. Because the rest of us struggle with being content. Because we've bought some of the lie of the world that we have to have this. I got to have this. I got to have this. And I got to do this. And they got to tell me this. And I got to feel this. And all that stuff before I'm content. That's not what he's telling us. Be content in him. Can you be content in him? That's the charge for the church. And when you're content in him, then I believe no weapon formed against you can prosper. He is our everything. He is our peace. He is our love when we feel unloved. He is mercy. He is grace. He floods us and covers us with it. That's our God. Be content. And remember who Timothy is speaking to. Paul is speaking to Timothy, who speaks to the church, and the church lost their first love. So who are we protecting here now? We have to be about protecting the first love, which is the believers, the saints, the church, that nothing come against it. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." What is he blessing you for? The ability to do every good work. The blessing isn't so I get to ride on the mountaintop, take a vacation for 18 years, just enjoy my wealth. No, the abundance is that I take the abundance and I use it to reach other people. For his glory, not for mine. Not for my happiness. He's not concerned about my happiness. He's more concerned about my joy. My joy comes when I'm doing what he's called to do in regards to other people. Sometimes I get in the way. Too often I get in the way. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:11. We just went through Philippians, so this should ring familiar. This isn't something we just get because we want it. This is something we have to learn. That came out of my life group this week. And when it was spoken, it was so powerful. And it says here in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That means I didn't know how to be content until I learned it. "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What does that mean? That Christ will give us what we need, the strength we need, the things we need to sustain, to endure. Not to own the bank. Unless it's going to be used for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then there's a trap that Paul goes to that I think the reason why it's so good is because I think we're all susceptible to this trap. It says in verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Oh my goodness. And then in verse 10 it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Money in and of itself is not a bad thing. Much can be accomplished with money, and God gives out to probably those who will go out and use for his glory. The ones who use it for their own glory, he will deal with that, not me, or not you. But it says this, it is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is the part that's bothersome. This is the part that's heavy. That people would stray from the faith because of two things right now. Because of two things. The second one here is money. And the first one, what was the first one? Anybody remember? Oh, you have to remember. The what? Was that what it said? You're going to make me go back. Two things. What was the first thing? Sally. Sally. Sally could really use you right about now. Yeah, those are going to all play a part in this. I'm going to come back to that. I am so sorry. I got excited about the money thing. Jesus. In verse 11 it says, but you, O man of God, could be or woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and gentleness. We're pursuing those things. Those things matter. Those things give us a peace that passes understanding. Those things within give us something, and they also, out of the abundance of that, they flow, and they impact other people. They impact others. That's what the church is about. Light, salt, having an impact on other people. Can't do that when we're obsessed with ourselves. We do that out of the filling of what God has poured into us. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And then in verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. I had somebody very special to me come into my office yesterday. And she's battling all kinds of things within her church. It was so hard to see the hurt that she had within the church. Why would there be hurt within the church? The church is where we're supposed to go to be lifted up, to be supported, to be encouraged, pour courage into people. I just talked with an elder about that the other day. Kazakh them, pouring courage into somebody. And that's not what's happening. Pettiness creeps in. Agendas creep in. And people get hurt. When we're together and united by the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, we don't have those fractures. And if we do, we get to the front of the altar or in your bed when you're laying there by yourself at night and say, God, I am sorry. Help me not to do that anymore. Help me not to wreck other people's lives. Help me to build up, to encourage, to strengthen for your greater glory and your greater purposes. And then he'll probably say in his spirit, you don't have to like them. You just have to love them. So there's not a big thing beyond what we can handle in that. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What are we talking about? What fight? Is there? The fight is spiritual. And that's what I said to this person in my office. It's not about the people coming at you. It's a spiritual thing that has happened. The enemy of your soul is looking to steal and rob from you the joy that you have in your church. And he's trying to just take it from you. That battle is not those people. That is God's battle. And he'll fight that battle. And he fights it when I get on my knees and say, God, you do this. And armor me up that I can take what comes at me. And give me the words to say to speak life. Give me the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It will cut to the joints and the marrow of people. It will bring the truth to them. But Lord, I hurt. Be a balm to me. Heal me as people do those things. You, in this white life, you're going to have tribulations, yes. But you'll have people coming against you. Sometimes just because of your faith. In fact, I would say even more today because of your faith. People will come against you, but the battle is not those people. The battle is flesh and blood. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This church, it's about the church. And we should be looking for his appearing. Why was I excited as I'm driving, seeing all the pretty colors, and then boom, Pastor Jerry is just bringing scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about what's going to happen for those who will be here when we are with the groom. It was so encouraging. The outcome for the believer is amazing. We don't even know how amazing it is. All I know is I don't want to lose anybody, and you don't want to lose anybody that you are supposed to be witnessing to or reaching and loving and caring and giving truth. Let nothing steal that from you, which affects them. Verse 13, he says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Are you excited about his return? Get excited about it. Or are you like I used to be? Well, I want to make my millions first. Every young person says they want to get married first. First, let me have married, have kids. I want to do that first. No, call for it now. Pray for it now. Hope it comes today. The appearing of Jesus Christ. Long for it. Who's he coming for? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Here's the challenge. This is a really good challenge. He's coming for those who visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Don't be so friendly with the world that you become the world. And while you're a believer in the church, are you reaching out to the people? Now here it says the widows and orphans. We have plenty of those here, but we have plenty of other things. And if you hear me rant about certain things, it's the places we can go to speak life into people. And you know what the beauty is? God takes care of our mess while we're helping others in their mess. Isn't that awesome? He helps us in our stuff while we're reaching out to others in their stuff. He'll take care of you if you're walking according to what he wants you to do. Verse 15 says, which he'll manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and the only potentate, which is a ruler, a great authority, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who he is. That's who the bridegroom is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who alone has immortality. Oh, I didn't mean immorality. We struggle with that. He doesn't struggle with that. He has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom honor and everlasting power belongs. Amen. His holiness, we've talked about that a lot. We can't even approach it. We cannot even view it because what it does to us, it reveals us. It's like shining a spotlight on our shortcomings, which are immeasurable compared to his awesome holiness. And yet he loves you right where you sit. He loves you with a love that's everlasting. He loves you incredibly and he loves you thoroughly. And he wants to rid you of the thing that separates you from him. His word tells us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what happens when we're in sin? We're leaving him. We're stepping away from him. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's perfect in his love and in his outreach. We're not. If you have that sin that's in your staining your soul and it's so messing with you and your relationship with God, step into the light and give it to him. Here, take my sin. I don't want to be apart from you any longer. There's only one time that I know of that the Father turned away from the sin, and that was Christ when he took all the sin on himself. He doesn't turn away from us anymore. We've been redeemed if you're in Christ. We turn away from him when we're in sin. It's what guilt and shame and what sin does, it kills, it destroys, it separates us from him. Don't hide in your sin. It's like hiding from God. Expose it. It's what we do on Thursday nights. Exposing it. It's what we do brother to brother. Dude, I'm struggling with this. And he says, dude, that's nothing. I'm struggling with this. Well, hey, dudes, let's not struggle anymore. Let's give it to him. I know it sounds oversimplified, but it's almost that easy. Just come and give it up. And then if you get daring, say, God, search me. Search me, God, know my heart. And he won't reveal to you what you can't handle. My whole walk with Christ was step by step, bit by bit, little here, little there. That's what he gave me. Just a little bit. Why? It's all I could handle. If I saw the fullness of who I am in my sin, I don't know that I could handle it. He's a great lover, our God is. The bridegroom is a great lover. And he handles us in that kind of love. Don't run away because of your sin. And if you're in the church, don't go out and pound somebody because of their sin. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Number three, believers are generous. Trusting in God over riches. That's so hard to do on so many levels, but it's what we're called to do. Verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 23:5 says, will set your eyes on that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. They're passing. You can't take it with you, though people are trying. I mean, it's unbelievable some of the things I've heard as I've gone through this. People are trying. They're trying to live forever. Why? Because they got all these riches. And they're on top. They think they are. And they want to live forever. And they're mixing bio with technical. And I know I'm probably saying all this wrong, but I'm telling you, just the things I came across. The audacity of man. And then I find that the audacity of man has always been this way. Let us make a temple that takes us to the heavens. We don't need him. Let us come up with the thing that's going to help me to live till I'm eternal in some machine because my essence somehow is in this machine. Oh my goodness, we're doing it all over again. It just has a different look. God, forgive us. Do this. I have to do it in the mirror and then walk into it and see if he wakes me up a little bit. I have to be woken up from the slumber of stinking thinking. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, let them do good, that they be rich in works, in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Is that what you're pursuing? Is that what I'm pursuing? Are we pursuing eternal life? Or are we pursuing the instant gratification that comes from whatever? Sex, money, and rock and roll. Rock and roll is kind of out. Sex, money, and what's the current thing? Nobody wants to talk. Because you know, I say, how do you know that? I'm just kidding. We're pursuing the temporal in place of the eternal. That requires faith to pursue the eternal. It requires faith. How much faith? The Bible says a measure. We've all been given a measure of faith. The church is about growing us in that faith. Don't hinder the work of the church. It's for all of us. Why? That they may lay hold of eternal life. Pastor James, if you can bring your team up. And the last thing is guard your faith. Guard the faith. Verse 20 says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. You see, we're all guilty. We ate from the wrong tree. Instead of the tree of life, we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which seems like a good thing, but it's not a good thing. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what says, eventually I can figure it out. I can know, much like Solomon, and I can ascend on my own instead of the tree of life, which is all in Christ. When you become a believer, you begin to eat from another tree. Praise God for that. But we're to guard the faith. For who? For each other. We watch out for the wolves. We don't let them in. Verse 21 says, by professing it, Some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. The most frightening words that I can think of are people that had a level of faith and fell away from the church. They grew away from the church. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And you all know that we see it every day. And we slowly, bit by bit, begin to ebb in that direction if we're not on our guard. Be on your guard. Not to judge others, to see that you're doing what you're called to do. Are you doing what you're called to do? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? What do we do? You've heard it since you were little, like little Gavin, Caden. I knew it ended in E-N. Little guy, I'm glad he's not here to yell at me. He'll get 2 minutes today. Now I forgot what I was saying. Jesus. Do what you're called to do. Called to love. Love. Not tolerate. You're called to love. Tolerate is something different. I'm called to love. Who are we supposed to love? Anybody that God sets in front of you. We're supposed to love with the kind of love that He has. We are not to be influenced. We are to be the influencers. We're not to be impacted. We're to be the impactors. We're to impact them. All right, that's outside the church. In the church, you're called to sharpen. You're called to love. You're called to forgive. You're called to reach out and build up and edify. That's what we're called to do in the church. We're called to study. Study what? We study the truth of God's word. Why? Because when God is revealed to us, so we're revealed to ourselves. We see ourselves for who we really are. That's what we're called to do in the church. Build up, encourage, sharpen. Jesus. Yeah, this is a message for the church. This is for us. This is for us in this day. Let us reach. Let us go and reach. Let us build up and encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ. I listened to the worship Sunday as well as Pastor Jerry's message. Oh my goodness, I was thinking, if that's a foresight or a glimpse as to what's going to happen tonight, I was really excited. And then I saw the holy side of worship today, which was so, so precious. And then I was thinking as I was standing out there, if that's going to happen tonight, I want to be there. I'm just encouraging you to come tonight. You get a free meal, for goodness sakes. And you get to enjoy worship at a deeper level because it's unhindered, it's uninterrupted. We can continue in it. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. If you're sitting in your seat right now and you don't know anything about this Jesus that I've been talking about, the bridegroom, right where you're sitting in your seat, you can make a decision. Just close your eyes and close your eyes so you're not distracted. Close your eyes and say, Jesus, I heard everything that was said. I want to be a part of I want to be part of the bride of Christ. I want to be saved from my sin. I want to be one with you. You can just do that right where you're at. You can go home and think about it. Take a nap. It's going to be beautiful out there. Colors are spectacular. Take a nap outside. And I want you to think about this. Right now, as you're laying on the ground looking at all the pretty colors, you can do the same thing and say, Jesus, right now, I want you. I receive you right here, right now. I don't have to know. But then it says it's good to tell. Tell somebody that you receive Christ. And you went from darkness to light. You went from hell to heaven. You went from the goats to the sheep. Praise God. Father God, it is in your name, Jesus, that I pray for every person here in this room. That your hand would be upon them. That your spirit would touch their spirit and open up their eyes to the reality of who you are. And that they would even be able to acknowledge who they are because they saw you and their need. I pray that for each person here. Take us to that deeper place with you. I pray for a spirit of fellowship to come to this church greater than what we've experienced. that we continue to grow as a body, impacting and affecting lives for others. I pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I pray that people would walk out of here blessed because they've been in the presence of believers who love Jesus. And they want what they have. And the question is, are you that light that they'll see and they'll say, I want what she has or what he has? And I pray that that comes out of you, that emanates from you in Jesus' name. I pray that God take you to a place where you begin to worship before we get to worship. I pray that he take you to a place where you begin to pray before you're called upon to pray. I pray that he take you to a place where you repent when nobody's barking at you to repent, because the Spirit of God comes on you and you know it's what to do. I pray that for you all and myself in Jesus' name. And I pray that the sin that so easily ensnares and entangles us, you'd be rid of it in Jesus' name, that you'd be free from the sin that has ensnared you. And you'll see it for what it is and walk from it because you're doing it in the power of God. That's my prayer for this church. And I pray for the wolf that came here to disrupt, that the Spirit of God would break them. That the Spirit of God would break them, revive them, and bring them back to true life. I pray that in Jesus' name.